head now, which recalls those happy days of long ago.
Hello there. Well, I see you're here again. And I'm mighty glad, too, because Uncle Julia's study that I'm going to tell about today is not only interesting, but it may bring a certain longing and determination to your heart, as it did to mine. As usual, Carl Jr., Nettie, and I were ready for Aunt Martha and Uncle Julius a good half hour before they arrived.
Daddy, what is war like?
War like? Son, it's terrible. Terrible. Why?
Aunt Martha's going to tell us a war story tonight.
She is?
That's what she said.
Well, I wish she wouldn't. I don't want you to ever find out about war.
Daddy, did you ever see anyone die when you went to war?
Carl, don't ask your daddy that question. Not ever again.
Why not, Mommy?
Because I tell you not to. Besides, dear, you're too young to understand such things. Go see who that is, will you, Carl? Junior?
It's probably Uncle Julius and Aunt Martha.
It's a little too early for them, I think.
Hello, kids. Come in. It's the kids, Mom. I'll take them downstairs.
All right, Carl.
Come in, kids.
Nettie, I hate war. I think maybe I'd better go downstairs tonight and see what sort of war stories Aunt Martha's telling to the kids.
You're just oversensitive about war, Carl.
But, Nettie, I do hate war. Oh, come in, Uncle Julius and Aunt Martha.
Oh, hello, Carl. Hi, Uncle Julius.
I guess I better go right downstairs.
The children are already there.
Say, Aunt Martha, I understand you're going to tell a war story tonight.
I plan to, yes.
Well, do you mind if I come down and listen?
Oh, come right ahead, Carl. I'll get to that story in 15 or 20 minutes.
Well, I'll be there, if Uncle Julius doesn't mind.
Not at all. We'll all go down and hear her story.
Good, Uncle Julius.
In which case, we'd better get along with the evening study. First, however, let's have our usual music.
I have a record already, Uncle Julius.
Wonderful.
Sometime when misgivings darken the day and faith's light I cannot see, I ask my dear Lord to brighten the way. He whispers sweet peace to me.
He whispers yes, sweet peace to me.
Still small voice, we are told, a voice that dispels all fear. And when I'm in doubt or trouble in soul, that still small voice I can hear.
He whispers yes, sweet peace to me.
Our subject tonight is peace and security. Will there ever be peace and security on this earth? And if so, when? We'll consider these things after a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for the gift of thine only Son, Jesus. Bless us now as we take up the evening study. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our first text in considering the subject of peace and security is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:3. And Nettie, I'm going to ask you to read this.
All right, Uncle Julius. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them.
According to that, there will be peace and safety.
It doesn't say there will be peace and safety, does it? It merely points out that people are saying peace and safety.
That could mean that the people are asking for peace and safety, but don't get it. Is that it?
At least, Nettie, it does not say that there will be peace and safety.
Then there won't be peace and security?
To fully understand and answer that question, Carl, We must consider and understand the basic causes of war.
Well, it's a matter of history, isn't it? That desire for additional land and possessions is the main cause of war.
You'd call that greed, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes, I suppose.
Greed certainly is a cause of war, all right.
I think jealousy is a big cause of war.
It certainly is one of the reasons for war.
Religion has even caused wars.
At least we've had what are called religious wars.
Seems like I remember that a war which devastated Europe was begun by the argument over a well bucket.
That's true.
That's nothing. The massacre of Vassy in the 30 Years' War was the result of a small boy throwing a stone at the Duc de Guise.
To me, the silliest reason of all was the spilling of a glass of water on Marquis de Torre. That started a war between France and England.
Huh. If you ask me, war itself is silly. Neither side really wins.
And the Bible says that very thing, Carl. In James 4, verse 2, ye fight and war, yet ye have not.
Huh. Have nothing is right. Nothing but mud and sickness and suffering and death.
I remember my father used to say that World War I was supposed to be a war to end wars.
Oh, I hate war.
Now let's see what the Bible says about the reason for wars. It's found in James 4:11. Nettie, you read it, will you?
Surely. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust?
That's a good word for it, lust.
In view of the facts we have just discovered and discussed, that greed, jealousy, hatred, lust, and other kindred things start wars, do you think that God or Satan is back of wars?
Satan is.
God surely isn't.
Now let's carry this idea just a little farther by reading Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Nettie, you read Psalms 12:8.
The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted.
The wicked certainly are all about us, everywhere.
I particularly like the way David in Psalms 55:21 describes wicked people. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart.
That describes a lot of people I know.
There's no doubt now, is there, from the Bible and our own experiences, that Satan, not God, sponsors war.
As long as there's a Satan, there'll be wars.
That's very true. Except, of course, during the millennium, when all the wicked are dead and Satan has no one to incite to war. The very thought, Carl, that there will be wars till the end of time is stated in Matthew 24:7.
I'll read it, Uncle Julius. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places.
Wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes. We're having a lot of those very things right now. You read about them in the papers almost every day.
But Uncle Julius, people are talking peace. Why, the United Nations and other peace organizations are trying to find a way to peace and safety. Won't they find it?
We'll answer that question, Nettie, by reading Isaiah 2, verses 3 and 4. Carl, it's your turn to read.
Yes. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks.
That's the very thing that's going on. People are saying, let's don't have war anymore. Let's beat our implements of war into implements of agriculture.
But still, the armament race goes on and on.
We can therefore safely believe, can't we, that this old world will never know lasting peace.
I hate to believe that, even think it, but I have to.
Does that mean that there'll never be security either?
We'll come to that question in just a minute, Nettie. Right now, I'd like to discuss the last war or battle that this world will ever have.
Oh, I know what that's called, Uncle Julius. Battle of Armageddon.
Oh, yes, I remember, too. The Battle of Armageddon.
Not too long ago, General Douglas MacArthur referred to the Battle of Armageddon. I have the newspaper clipping right here in my Bible. Listen, we've had our last chance. If we do not now devise some great and more equitable system, Armageddon will be at our door.
General MacArthur should know.
I always thought the Battle of Armageddon was more or less a myth, merely an expression.
It's real, Nettie, very real.
Who will fight in that last battle, Uncle Julius?
The entire world, Carl. In fact, that very expression is used in Revelation 16, verses 14 and 16 in describing the battle. Nettie, you read it, please.
For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon.
I said this before, but I want to say it again. I had no idea that the Bible was so simple and easy to understand, yet so comprehensive in coverage.
Why, it covers every walk of life. Current news, world history, future events, everything.
Anyway, now that we know that this old world will never know real peace, let's turn our attention to the security part of our question. Will there be security? If so, where? When?
I don't think there will be, Uncle Julius.
I don't see how there can be, unless one moves to the mountains and lives the life of a hermit.
Don't worry. The next war will get everyone. No one will be safe, regardless of where they live or who they are.
We're talking about security, not safety.
That's even worse. If there's any security around anywhere, I'd surely like to have some of it.
Security is the very thing we want, Uncle Julius.
Security is priceless, and for that reason we do want it. And as Carl said, if there's any around, we want our share.
I know there isn't any. What with labor troubles and war and unsettled conditions in general, security is a thing of the past.
We'll see, Carl. First, let me read a definite statement about this. It's found in Job, the 11th chapter, verses 18 and 19. And thou shalt be secure, because there is hope. Thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Also thou shalt lie down, and none shall make thee afraid.
Then there is some sort of security among all the trouble and strife of the last days?
There is, Nettie. And now I'm going to read the very next verse, and we'll get a clear and concise picture of just exactly who it is that has this priceless security. But the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape. The righteous have security. The wicked do not escape the troubles. The righteous do.
The wicked have an easy time of it now. But one of these days, they're going to be up against it.
Yes, Carl. Security, when it's most needed, will be available only to the righteous. Even they will seemingly be insecure. Carl, read Revelation 13:15, and I'll show you what I mean.
And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed.
So you see, the righteous are hated by the wicked. So much so that laws are made permitting them to be killed.
But they aren't.
We'll let you answer that question yourself, Nettie, by reading Daniel 12, verse 1.
And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book.
Again, we can see that only the righteous have security. Only they are delivered from the terrible time of trouble. And during that terrible last war and time of trouble, the righteous will be assured of certain things. Carl, you read that. It's in Isaiah 33:16.
He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure.
So regardless of how bad the wars and pestilences and famines are, God's people are assured of bread and water.
Even so, that's going to be a trying time for them.
It seems like that to us, Nettie, and yet it isn't. And there's a reason. That reason is found in Isaiah 33:17. They shall behold the land that is very far off.
What does that mean, Uncle Julius?
Well, Nettie, during all the troublous times, the righteous aren't thinking about the troubles all about them. Instead, their minds and hearts are fastened on things above, on the kingdom of God that at that time seems afar off.
Oh, yes, I see.
And another text I especially like is Psalms 91:9-10. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling.
That is a beautiful text, Uncle Julius. I also like the one about God's angels protecting us.
You probably mean the one in Psalms 34:7?
I'll read it and see. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Yes, that's the one.
There are many beautiful texts on the care God has for his children. Would that time permitted us to read and study them all. We have read and considered enough, however, to know that the only peace and security in the latter days will be poured out upon those of us who are faithful in our duty to the true worship of God. With David in Psalms 33:20, we say, our soul waiteth for the Lord, for he is our help and our shield.
I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea. For come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God
trust in God. I know He cares for me. On mountain bleak or on the rolling sea, though billows roll, He keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me.
Uncle Julius, that was a good study, and I...
There's no need to say it, Carl. I understand.
I want to be among the righteous, too, Uncle Julius.
Both of you. Just let the sweet Spirit of God work on your hearts and lives, and you will be among the righteous. You will be secure in the time of trouble.
We hope
so. We want to be.
And now let's go downstairs and listen to Aunt Martha's story, shall we?
That's a good idea, Uncle Julius. Come right in, folks. Well, boys and girls, we have a few adult visitors for this last portion of storytelling time. The story, as I told you, is a war story. I call it The Bombing Incident. It illustrates Daniel 6:21-22. And Daniel said unto the king, My God hath sent his angels, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. The story, The Bombing Incident, that illustrates this text is a true story. It actually happened to the West family during the last World War. Father West was a missionary to a small European city. Near the beginning of the war, Melvin and Kitty, the West children, were playing in the sandbox in their backyard.
I'm tired of playing store. Let's play something else.
What do you want to play?
I don't care. Just anything but store.
Let's play garage.
Nah, I'm tired of that too.
How about church?
Okay, let's play church.
I'll be the organ player.
And I'll be the preacher.
Oh, what will you preach about?
Oh, I don't know. Wait and see. Ready to begin?
Yeah.
All right. We will open this meeting by singing page number 264.
What's page 264?
Don't you know?
No.
It's I washed my hands this morning.
I don't know that song.
You don't? It goes like this. I washed my hands this morning so very clean and white, and lent them both to Jesus to work for Him till night.
I can't play that.
Can you play Jesus Loves Me?
Oh, yes. I know that one.
We will open this meeting by singing number 23, Jesus Loves Me. Miss Kitty West will play the piano.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
And now I will preach. My sermon is about Jesus loves me. He does love me. He also loves you. The Bible says so. That's how I know He does. Little children are weak, but
Miss,
Jesus is...
Listen, what's that noise?
Shh, I'm preaching.
What's that noise?
It means that airplanes are here.
Oh, it does not. There aren't any airplanes around here. I don't see any.
Up there in the sky, see?
Those aren't airplanes. They're seagulls.
Seagulls don't fly in formation.
Melvin, Kitty, where are you?
Back here, Father, in the sandbox, playing.
You and Kitty come over here to the church at once. Hurry.
All right, Father, we're coming. Come on, sis.
Okay. Wonder what Father wants.
I don't know, but he probably thinks there's going to be an air raid.
What's an air raid?
It's where airplanes fly over and drop bombs.
What are bombs?
Oh, they're things that explode and go boom and kill people.
Why do they drop bombs?
Because there's a war, and people hate each other.
But I'm not at war. I don't hate anyone. Why are they going to drop bombs on me?
Ah, you're too young to understand such things. Here we are, Father. What do you want?
You children and your mother go into the church. In case of an air raid, it's safer in a church than any place else around here.
Is there going to be an air raid, Father?
Oh, I doubt it, son. Those planes up there are probably our own. Just a practice raid. So we'll know what to do if we ever have a real raid. Mother, you take the children in the church, and I'll stay and fix the hinge on the door.
All right, children, come along with me, and we'll go.
Mama, what's that noise?
I don't know, Kitty.
Quick, get in the church. That sounded like an anti-aircraft gun.
Will we be killed, Mommy?
Of course not, honey.
Now listen to me, Kitty, and you too, Malvin. Perhaps we will have an air raid. Perhaps bombs will fall all around us. But even so, we will not be killed or even harmed.
But, Papa, Malvin said that bombs explode and kill people. Why won't we be killed?
Well, Kitty, God promises in His holy word that when we're in danger, He will send His angels to encamp around us and protect us.
Will His angels keep the bombs from falling on us?
That's just about it, Kitty.
Angels protected Daniel from the lions.
And they will protect us, too.
I'm glad.
We have cause to be truly thankful, all right.
Father, this is a real raid. The second warning is sounding.
Yes. Look, Father, through the window, away up there in the sky. Little puffs of white smoke. What are they?
Well, son, those are explosions of anti-aircraft shells. There's an enemy plane. That black speck just above the puffs of smoke. See it?
There are a lot of black specks. Are they all enemy planes?
I suppose they are, son.
It's an air raid, all right. That was a bomb exploding. Well, don't you think we should try to find some safer place? Large empty church auditorium doesn't offer much safety.
You're right, Mother. And the safest place is a baptismal tank back at the pulpit.
Let's get the children in there then, quickly.
Come on, children. Move fast now. Those planes are about overhead. Melvin, help me raise the trap door so we can get down the tank. Well, that's it. Now there's a small ladder going down into the tank. Mother, you go first, and then Kitty and Melvin. It isn't very large down there, but I think there's room enough for the four of us.
I'm down. Give me your hand, Kitty. I'll help you down.
This is fine.
Now give me your hand, Melvin.
I can get down by myself. See, I'm in.
We're all in. Now, all we have to do is close the trap door, and then we'll be as snug as four bugs in the rug, and as safe. There, it's closed.
We can't hear anything from in here.
It's dark, Mama.
We'll have a light in a jiffy. I put some candles in here just the other day. There. How's that?
That's fine.
Papa, why did we come down here? God's angels can't get in here and protect us. There's not enough room.
Oh, yes, there is, sister. Angels can go anywhere.
Why don't the angels protect everyone then, so no one gets killed?
That's a good question, Kitty. And it's simply because people don't have sufficient faith to believe that God can protect them. And they don't ask God to protect them.
But we haven't asked God to protect us either.
You're right, Kitty. We haven't. Not since the raid started.
We'll pray right now and ask for God's protection. Melvin, you pray first, and then Kitty, and I'll close. All right, let's close our eyes now and pray.
Dear God in heaven, you promised to send your angels to protect us. We need them right now. So won't you please send them right away? Thank you. Amen.
Dear Jesus, you promised to send your angels so the bombs won't kill us. I know you'll keep your promise. Thank you. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we beg you to hear these simple prayers and to answer them in this our hour of great need. Amen. While we're waiting for the raid to get over, how about singing a song or two? It'll keep our courage up and help us pass the time, too.
A good suggestion, Father. Let's start off by singing God Will Take Care of You.
Oh, that's a good song. All right, Mother, you start, and we'll join in.
Be not afraid, for there be tide. God will take care of you. Though darkness deepens and storm abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you.
singing for a moment. I want to go up and see if everything is all right. For all we can tell from down here, the church may be burning or blown to bits.
May I go up with you, Father?
No, no, son. I'll be back in a minute. Fact is, I'll just stick my head up out of the trap door and take a peek. All is quiet. The raid must be over.
Mr. Preacher.
Here I am, up here on the platform, with my head sticking out of the baptismal tank.
I'll be right there. I want to talk to you.
Who is it, Father?
A policeman.
A policeman? What can a policeman want with us?
I can't imagine.
Are you the minister of this church?
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
Whom did I hear singing just now?
Why, we were singing down here in a little air raid shelter, the four of us.
No, it couldn't have been just you. What I heard was a church full of people singing, or a large choir.
Well, you can see for yourself, officer. The church is empty.
Something funny is going on here. Almost the entire city is on fire. People dying all around you. This is one of the very few buildings not yet hit by a bomb. And you sing. Something funny is going on here.
Is the raid over, officer?
No. Another wave of enemy planes is due at any moment now.
Oh.
That's probably them now. Well, Buster, you'd better get down in your shelter again.
Oh, thank you, officer. I will.
I can't understand it. I know I heard singing.
Mother, did you and the children hear what that policeman said?
Yes. I wonder what it means.
Maybe he heard angels sing. The ones God sent to protect us.
Now, Kitty, we can't hear angels sing.
Angels do sing, don't they?
Why, I suppose so, but...
Well, then why can't we hear them?
Well, Kitty, dear, I suppose we could, if God wanted us to, and if he opened our ears so we could. Abraham and Balaam and others have heard angels talk. So I suppose we could hear them sing.
Then maybe that officer did hear angels sing.
But why didn't we hear them if the policeman did?
Oh, perhaps God didn't want us to.
Papa, may I pray again?
Surely you may, Kitty. God likes us to pray often to him, like we'd talk to a friend.
Dear Jesus, thank you for sending your angels down to protect us. But we didn't hear them sing like that policeman did. So won't you please send them down again to sing? And this time, let us hear them. Thank you. Amen.
Listen. Singing.
Yes.
It is angels. Oh, wonder of wonders. To think that we are actually hearing angels from heaven singing. Marvelous. Beautiful.
Children, we are honored. We have witnessed a very unusual event. God demonstrating his love and protection as a result of our faith. Yes, children, faith did it, even though we may never hear again or see God's manifestations as we have today. We may be sure that he always hears our prayers, honors our faith, and protects us along life's highway if we will but have faith to completely trust it.
And Daniel said unto the king, My God hath sent his angels, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me.
Well, boys and girls, that's all the stories for today. But in honor of our guests, let's sing to close, shall we? Mary, you play the piano. We'll sing When He Cometh. Our visitors back there, you may sing too. All together now.
When He cometh, when He cometh, to make up His jewels, all His jewels, precious jewels, His love and His own. Little children, little children.
right, boys and girls, you're excused now. But we hope you'll all come back again next week.
Wonderful story, Aunt Martha.
Yes, and I want to apologize, Aunt Martha. I was thinking and wishing that you wouldn't tell Carl Jr. war stories. But, well, that kind of a story will do him good. Teach him to trust and have faith in God, regardless of what men do or the circumstances of life.
It was a grand story, Martha.
Thanks to all of you. But if you don't mind, Julius and I better go home now. It's getting late.
Good night, Carl, Nettie, little Carl.
Good night, Uncle.
Good night, Martha.
Blessed book, precious book. On thy dear old tear-stained leaves I love to look. Thou art sweeter day by day as I walk the narrow way that leads at last to that bright